Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am absolutely delighted to share this interview I did with Stacey McEwen for her debut novel, Ledge. If you're on the book talk side of TikTok, then you've definitely seen Stacey trying to turn her husband into a fictional character, coming up with unhinged affirmations, and just generally being an adorable bibliophile. Her book, Ledge, is an adult fantasy quest with an enemies-to-lovers subplot, and I loved every single page. Stacey is so sweet, and I can't wait for you to hear our chat. So without further ado, here's my interview with Stacey McEwen. Hi, Stacey McEwen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am so great. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Hey, me too. So excited.
It's cute because I brought home an ARC of this many moons ago, and my husband read it in one sitting, and he's just been sitting there like waiting for me to read it.
As I was reading,
he's like, "Have you gotten to this part yet? Have you gotten to this part yet?"
Oh, I love that. My husband like literally just read it for the first time a couple of days ago. After months and months and months, and he's not a reader, and he was so nervous to read it because he's a terrible liar, number one, and number two, he's just not a reader, so he's thinking like it's going to take me ages to get through it, and Stacey's going to be sitting there going, where are you up to? But he flew through it as well, and I was like very thankful for the both of us, because yeah. I don't know what would have, maybe like it might have ended in divorce.
I mean, like, who knows? Truly,
yeah.
Just kick him out.
What other option is there?
None. Just lock him in the basement. Listen, you can come out when you finish the book and love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come out with a smile on your face.
Exactly. Exactly. A little quirk of the lips. It'll be great. So it is launch day for you. For the listeners who are, I'm sure, very excited to read it, give us the elevator pitch. Tell us about Ledge.
Okay, so Ledge is about an icy mountain shelf that acts as a prison for the people who live there. The prison is called The Ledge, and our story focuses around a 24-year-old woman named Dawson, who's the sole remaining member of her family. She lives alone on The Ledge, this hostile, brutal, icy place. And while the people on The Ledge know why they're there, they know 50 years ago, these winged mountain beasts kind of swooped into their valley, raided their village, herded them up a mountain, threw them across a massive uncrossable chasm and dumped them on a ledge. They know why they're there, but they don't know why they've been kept alive or why they're still there. They do know that once at the start of every season, the glaciers fly over the chasm, swoop down, snatch up random villagers, carry them away, and those people are never seen again. And Dawson, as the last remaining member of her family, one day she is swooped up by a glacier and taken over the chasm, and there she learns out what on earth is going on.
Yes, and oh, what an adventure she has. So I love this book, and I love the story kind of how this book came to be, because I as the Gibson's Bookstore social media manager, you were our first non-indie bookstore follow on TikTok. We followed you so early.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I followed this whole journey. Like, I remember commenting on one of your very, very early TikToks talking about Ledge, being like, okay, can you make sure that it's available, you know, on Ingram so that indie bookstores can carry it? Like, I remember being like, however you publish it, make sure we can get it. And now you are traditionally published and we have it on about to have it on our shelves. That's the time of recording this. So give us kind of the journey of how Ledge came to be, because I think it's very cool.
Okay, I'm going to try and keep it to under 10 minutes because it is quite convoluted. But I had been writing since I was like 18, but not particularly seriously and somewhat badly. And it came pandemic time, and I was at home a lot with my kids and just starting to get bored in that Groundhog Day, downloaded TikTok as we all did around the same time, realized that BookTok was a thing, which was amazing to me. Loved it there so much, eventually worked up the courage to start making my own content, and I did, and generated this following out of nowhere. It was really unexpected, And I got to around 11,000 followers somewhere around that time. I thought, better tell my husband, because someone from my little life is going to see these TikToks where I'm talking about books, and they're going to tell him, and he's not going to have any clue what they're talking about, and that's not kind. So I told him that I was making videos of myself and putting them on the internet, and he was suitably shocked, and misinterpreted that as like an OnlyFans page. I assured him that it wasn't. Showed him my TikTok, and he went, 11,000 followers, 11,000 people are following you because you're talking about books. And I was like, I understand that that's a strange concept to you, a non-book reader, but yes. And he said, well, what are you going to do with this following? And I said, nothing. I'm going to make stupid content, and maybe I can get some free books out of it, like other people seem to. That seems something like something I want. And he said, why don't you try and sell them one of your books? He's the real brains of the family. And I said, immediately no. Like, those books that I've written in the past will never see the light of day. That's, if I can give the earth one thing, it's that. And but I did think, maybe I had this idea of Ledge, and I thought, maybe it's time to write that. And he's right, like, maybe this is my shot at self-publishing, which is not something I'd looked into previously. I didn't see myself as a person who had the skill set to do the business side of things, of publishing. But I thought, this was like, if ever there's going to be a chance to get my book into people's hands, this surely this is it. So I wrote Ledge and started talking about it a little bit on TikTok, and it generated some interest for no reason at all. I quite literally just made a TikTok saying, I'm going to write a book and it's going to be good. And that's all I said, and people went, great, like, update us, let us know how it's going, let us know where we can pre-order, which is the beauty of BookTok, because those people had like zero reason to believe in me and my ability to write. They had nowhere to look to see if I could write. It was blind faith, and I appreciate it. And so I kept writing, and I finished it, and I edited it, and I did all the research I could to self-publish it. I got a cover, and then I thought, I better tell people what it's about. So I jumped back on TikTok, and I did this cover reveal, and I did a plot reveal as well, where I sort of talked for the first time about what this book was about, and said, like, here's the pre-order link. And that video didn't necessarily go viral, but it certainly did well. And so self-promotional videos on TikTok, like, typically tank, you know, like, people can like smell it when you're trying to sell them something a mile away, and they run for the hills. And, you know, fair enough, because so do I. And but it did really well, and everyone was so supportive. And by the end of the week, I had three emails sitting in my inbox, and one of them was from a literary agent saying, can I read this book, and can we have a discussion about it? And the two others were from publishing houses that came straight to me and said, can we read the book? So I sent it out to all three, just blindly, just went, here you go. And the literary agent came back after about a week and said she'd read it and she'd like to sign me. And at that stage, it was under the understanding that she might be able to help me with things like foreign translation rights, and media rights and deals, and things of that nature, and you know, audiobook rights and things. And I thought, I can't do those things by myself, so absolutely, I'll go with an agent. So I did, and I just mentioned to her, like, just in passing, by the way, Simon and Schuster and this other publishing house, they have the book. And she went, what do you mean? And I explained it. I explained it, and she said, so are you interested in traditional publishing? And I said, look, no, I don't think so. I think it's too late now. I've already put my book online for pre-order. It's coming out in like a week. So no, I don't think so. And she went, give me a month, like, delay this release by a month, and I will get you a book deal. And I didn't believe it. Typically, these things take months to, you know, get a reply. For example, they take, it's a very protracted period of time between correspondence, and it definitely doesn't flip over that quickly. And I thought, that's not a thing, but she was insistent. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, self-publishing does in fact terrify me. I'm not sure that I have the skill set, and I really am just fumbling my way through this. So I thought, what the hell, like, what harm could it do? So I delayed the release by a month, told everyone that I was pursuing opportunities and gave it to the agent to pitch, and she did. And within about 2 weeks, we had a deal. That meant that we had 2 weeks to turn over. Yeah, we had 2 weeks to turn over the pre-orders that I'd already generated myself into a new title that was going to be published by Angry Robot Books, and in an attempt to try and salvage some of those pre-orders as well, rather than just cancelling the entire thing and losing them all. So that was stressful, but we did it. We managed to pull it off. And I pressed the cancel button on my end the same time they uploaded their title. And it was scary, and it felt like a gamble at the time and a risk. And I now know that it's paid off. I now know that it was the right decision to have made. At the time, it was really, really nerve-wracking. Yeah. But here we are.
Here
so
we are.
That was not under 10 minutes. I'm sorry, but
you're fine. No, it's yeah. a great story though. You know, and we were talking before you got started, like publishing is insane. Like the publishing world is
crazy.
It
really is.
There's no, and especially
Absolutely.
Now, like there's already so much unpredictability, right? But now in the age of things like TikTok, where people can just be like, oh, I've written this thing, and by the way, I have this huge audience who's like ready and willing to buy my book, and publishers are like, well, okay. Like it just
yeah,
changes the game.
They really are. Absolutely. I truly believe it's changed the way they go about their acquisitions as well. Like the way that they acquire authors is changing. And we have not really seen it in the past. That's not how it's worked in the past, where a publishing house will directly contact someone that they've just seen online talking about a book, who has no prior training credentials, like nowhere that they can look to see previous writing, and that person has not reached out to them querying. That's not how it works. Like we know that there's like this very specific process that people usually have to take to get their book seen by an agent first, usually, and then a publisher.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very strange new world in publishing right now. But places like BookTok and Bookstagram have brought a like resurgence of book reading and like have brought this entire new audience into reading and in many ways that's very much salvaged the industry.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they're not, like, it's not the only reason, but I think like BookTok and Bookstagram and things like that are largely responsible for a lot of increased sales over the last few years. So
absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. It's been crazy on the bookstore front of seeing these backlist older titles suddenly just blow up, and we're like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a really cool tool. It's a really cool thing, and we're obviously big fans of it. So I want to talk a little bit about tropes, because there are some delicious tropes in this book. I for one, I love a trope. And oh my goodness, you've got the quest trope, you've got enemies to lovers, you've got found family. Like this book is chock full of the best tropes, just the best ones. So I want to know, how did you narrow it down? Were there tropes that you wanted to put in there that you like couldn't fit in, you had to cut them?
No. The only trope that I really had in mind that I thought I would like this book to follow, this kind of plot line, was the enemy to lovers, because that's my favorite romance plot personally. And I hadn't written one before, so I thought this will be fun. So that was sort of the only trope that I had in mind. The quest trope came naturally because it's a fantasy. So like I threw a quest in there. And the story revolves around both the quest and the enemies to lovers. The found family came in out of nowhere. I didn't plan for that at all. And then the smaller tropes, like we have like a dagger to the throat scene and a forced proximity scene, you know, and those sorts of scenes. I didn't necessarily, you know, jot those types of tropes down and go, we've got to fit those somewhere in the story. As I was writing, they kind of came along, and I'm glad for that. Because I think it would have created some weird kind of Frankenstein monster of a book if I had gathered all these tropes together in a basket and just started like flopping them in the writing, you know?
Yeah.
So I sort of just had the enemies to lovers, and then the quest trope came naturally. Found family came in because this is a very slight spoiler, but when Dawson and Ryan sort of reached the valley, I thought they needed some friends. So I added in some side characters, and I love those side characters so much. So I'm really glad that they came along.
I love them so much.
Oh, me too. I'm very glad. Every time someone says that, I'm like, me too.
I love them so much. As soon as they started being introduced, I was like, oh yes, these, yeah, I want yeah, like a sitcom of Salem and Ezra, like just just want the two of them all the time, just like
I could listen to them banter all day.
God, just lovingly bickering. I love it so much.
Yeah. They have this really weird dependent, like, hate love relationship, and it's fantastic.
yeah so no, it's fantastic, and I was delighted every time I uncovered a little like nugget of a little trope, you know, the dagger to the throat or whatever. I was like, oh yay.
Ooh.
it's like a little present. but I also I want to talk about, speaking of like little presents throughout the book, there is just some, the whole book's well written, but there are some really beautiful moments in this book. And in particular, some of the moments of Dawson discovering things for the first time. I am obsessed with these scenes because, so she's been on this ledge her whole life. She has never experienced anything but ice and snow and hunting and things like this, right? So, you know, all of a sudden she's making her way down, and there's a moment where she discovers just natural running water for the first time. And it's not like she's never, you know, had water, like they would boil the ice and snow to make water, but like in the wild, she describes it as the wind but singing. And I swear to God, I cried. I was like, that's such a beautiful way to describe that. But like the thing that I love about it is that, you know, she is discovering these things for the first time, but it's not in a way that, like, it doesn't dumb her down. It's not, it's not like through this naivete. Like, it's very just, she just takes it in stride. You know, she like sees a horse for the first time, and she's like, well, that was a magnificently beautiful creature. Apparently it's called a horse. I love it. Like, just there's like a sense of wonder, but not, you know, it doesn't lessen her in any way. And I ate that up.
Oh, I'm so glad, because those were some of my favorite things to write, I think, is like trying to put myself in that mindset and go like, what would it be like if you came across running water for the first time just on the ground, where previously if you wanted water, you had to actively make water in a sense, you know, they had to boil ice and snow to get their water. Running water was not a thing. What would it be like to come across it for the first time, or to even hear it for the first time? Like, what would water sound like for the first time if you were listening to it? So those things were really fun to write. Like, there's a point where I think money is brought up, and she's like, what is that? Or someone asks her to pay, and she becomes defensive and is like, well, what do you mean pay? Like, what will I pay with? And and she has no prior experience with those things because they're not available to her. But I really didn't want her to seem like Rapunzel coming out of the tower for the first time and going, oh my God, flowers and glass and you know.
Right.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that it's sort of not in a way that makes her seem, I don't know, ditzy or flippant or any of those things, because that's not who that character is either. She just kind of, it's almost like she catalogs it, you know, she's like, running water, check, horse, check, you know?
And you know, like, she has like some exposure, you know, like her grandmother had like told her stories about things. And so she's like, that's what she meant by that. All right, cool.
Exactly. She almost ticks them off. But yeah, there's a part of Dawson that's like infallibly logical, like she can't escape this part of her brain that's pragmatic first, because everything previously has just been about survival. So there's almost a part of her that doesn't recognize her own wonder. You know, she, like, those things are wonderful and she is amazed by them. But there's a part of her that's almost like, we don't have time for this. Like, there are more important things.
Right.
She's almost reluctantly, she's almost like reluctantly amazed by different things that she discovers. And I kind of like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cute because I was reading it and, you know, I have two very small children and I was like, oh, this is like the Born Yesterday episode of Bluey.
I love that episode.
It's such a good episode. It is like this, you know, this new perspective on the world, right? It's like, oh, like seeing something for the first time and like, what would that be like? And kind of this new appreciation for the world. But also with this very kind of matter of fact, logical, like, yeah, okay, cool. Anyway, so we're off to do this thing. I love it.
More important tasks at hand.
That's awesome. I'm glad that those were really fun for you to write because it just came across as like, oh, this is, I loved it. I loved those moments.
Good. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. So speaking of all that, so the world building is very cool in this. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your kind of your process in creating this world and this fantasy and these creatures.
Oh, I could talk all day. And I will. No. It started off with had an image in my head of this woman that was in this really hostile landscape, this snowy, icy, unforgiving, blizzardous, like really, really yuck landscape. And the reason I had that thought was because I'm a bit obsessed with a survivalist tale that revolves around, you know, someone trying to escape and the journey of escape. Like, you know, the lost on a desert island or, you know, boat bobbing on the sea trying to find shore, and the crazy things that a human will do in order to survive, like the limits that they will go to. I really like reading that kind of story. So I'd always wanted to write something like that myself. So I didn't really want a desert. I think that story has been done a million times. Or, you know, the boat bobbing on the sea. And so I had this image of this woman that was just standing in this really snowy, icy place and thought, yep, that's the one. That's the one I want. I also just primarily write in fantasy. So I knew it was going to be a fantasy story. But I wondered if I could take the concept of giving the character the objective that they have to escape this place. I wondered if I could turn it on its head so that that place was inescapable. And how does that change the objective of the character? I'd have to assume that if I plopped a character in an environment like that and can't escape, so don't bother trying, their next goal would be to find some kind of contentedness and or make some kind of life for themselves. And if that's the case, what does that look like for them? So I had that idea. I wondered how I could trap her. So then came the idea of a shelf, a ledge, a mountain shelf. And in order to make it inescapable, I popped a sheer mountain face that was unclimbable on one side and then surrounded it by a big ass chasm and told her she couldn't cross it. And trapped her there and then thought, like, how would she have even ended up there if that's the case? And I liked the idea that she was born and raised there and she knew nothing else. I thought that would make for an interesting story as well. So then came the idea that there was in fact an entire village that lived on this shelf, and the Glacians came in because I needed a reason why they were there. So we filled in the backstory from there, and the idea that the Glacians have imprisoned them there for some reason. So that's kind of how it all started and how it all built, just like kind of piece by piece. I just sort of kept asking myself questions and finding answers to them.
It's so cool and it's so unique, that setting. I remember the first time I saw the video where you described it and I was like, oh God, I would not want to be there.
No.
This is gonna be great.
And I'm Australian, so snow and ice to me just seems awful. It seems like the worst.
Yeah, where we currently are, I'm in New Hampshire and we are sprinting headlong towards winter, and I know that it's coming, and I live on a mountain basically and I know it's coming and I don't want it.
I've been to the snow like twilight, and both times I was like trying to have fun but also kind of miserable. I was like just the one, like just sitting inside in the cabin with either hot chocolate or like a hard drink and just like kind of miserable hating it and wanting to leave. I am a lizard. I just want to lie on a hot rock all day in the sun, you know?
Same.
Yeah, that's the life for me.
That's all I want. I mean, I have grown up my entire life. I've been within like, you know, an hour of skiing, and I have never once skied in my entire life, and I have no desire. I'm like,
I love that for you, because that would be me too. I feel like I'd be like, no, no, I'm not interested. Thank you.
I'm all.
I'll stay inside, and you guys let me know when the sun comes out. I'll be in here.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I'm really glad that I read this while it was still hot out, because I was like, oh, this book would make me cold. If I was reading it in winter and like looking outside in the snow, I'd be like, oh no, I'm trapped.
For real. And I like, weirdly, I've had lots of comments that are like, people are reading it. They're like, yes, it's getting me into my favorite snowy wintry vibes. And I'm like, what do you mean? Dawson is miserable. Why do you want that?
Can't relate.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. Totally off subject, but just, you know, throwing in some TikTok questions. Have you yet successfully turned your husband into a fictional character?
No, I still fight on a daily basis, but I'm starting to come to the fruition that perhaps it's not meant to be for him. Perhaps he's just meant to be a non-fictional man. I don't know. I tried to film a TikTok the other day, and it went so pear-shaped that I can't actually put it online. And that's happened several times where I'm like, this will be so funny, and it's gone so badly that I'm like, okay, well, now that's R-rated and we can't put it up there, you know. Like, you can't speak that way. You can't do those things. Like, I thought it'd be really funny if I went up to him and like, you're going to learn how to chase me, because in like a really dramatic scene, like, you know, I'm going to be like, oh, and I'm going to cry, I'm going to run, and you have to chase me. And he was like, got it. And I went, oh, and I turned around and run, and he just dacked me. And I was like, oh, right, well, like that, I can't put that on the internet, Michael. And he's like, now I don't have to chase you if I dack you when you fall down. Don't have to take, like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, Michael, you are so far from a fictional man. I can't even tell. If you are a fictional man, you are the comedy relief in a rom-com, and that's not, like, that's not what we're looking for here. That's not what we're asking for. So the answer is no. It's not going well.
Oh, no. He's the hopeless side character.
He really is. He's the Ezra of the bunch.
Incredible. Well, I mean, you know, you can keep trying, you know, you never know.
We do. Yeah. And we love Ezra, you know,
we love Ezra. I mean,
we do love Ezra. He's Ezra Salem's like grumpiness, I guess.
Oh my goodness. Have you read anything recently that you feel like recommending?
I have been taking a break from reading over the last couple of weeks, because I'm very near to the deadline for book two. But I've read The Book of Azrael by Nicole Amber. That's on my shelf somewhere up right there.
Nice.
And that was wonderful. I really liked it. I also read, this is a rom-com, so not my usual read, but it's up on my very top shelf there, and it's called Funny Feelings by Tara Dewitt. I thought that was really sweet and beautiful. Lovely palate cleanser. I kind of like reading a whole bunch of fantasy and then like palate cleansing with some kind of rom-com. And what else did I read? I also read For the Wolf by Hannah Whitten, which I thought was beautiful book. So I'm going to read the second book, I think, immediately, because that was gorgeous. But then I had to take a break, and I got very sad about the break that I had to take. But I'm almost done.
The sacrifices we have to make, I'm telling you.
Oh, honestly. Just the worst night. It really is the best. That's my biggest complaint. Then I need to be quiet.
I mean, I guess it's a pretty cool life.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, I am so delighted. As we're recording this, it is the 13th for you. It's about to be the 13th for me, which means it's launch day for you in the US. And we already have pre-orders at Gibson's, which I get to call those people tomorrow and be like, come get your book. Very excited.
Yay,
for
that's
that.
That's so exciting. You guys are the best.
Oh, we are so thrilled for you. I'm going to hand sell the crap out of this. It's so much fun. It's such a good book. and just.
Oh, I appreciate it so much. You guys have been such a great support. I love that you've been here from the very beginning when I was just an idiot on TikTok going like, I wrote a book.
I was just, you know, lip syncing to your hilarious audios and like had no idea what would come of it later.
Neither did I.
what a wacky world we live in.
Indeed.
Stacey, thank you so much. Congratulations. I'm so excited to see the rest of this trilogy come to fruition.
Oh yeah, it's not, and I'm very excited about book two, and I do need to get back to editing it, but it's coming and I'm very excited about it. Thank you so much for everything. You guys are just so wonderful, and it's so nice to talk to you, and it's so nice to hear about what everyone thinks of the book, and it's nice to hear that, you know, people don't hate it. That's always very gratifying.
No, it's awesome. It
wasn't. Okay.
Oh, congratulations again. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
Huge thanks again to Stacey McEwen for joining me on the podcast. Ledge is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!